and failed to mention suggest a change in the ANCSA, Last Man Family Settlement Act law. It's section 14F. And I won't read the whole network, I'll just read the last sentence. Last sentence goes like that: the right to explore, develop, or remove minerals from the subsurface estate in the lands within the boundaries of any native village shall be subject to the consent of the native of the village corporation. I think they should be more specific as to what is the boundaries of the native village. That lends the possibility of a legal description. In the native village, I mean, the boundaries of the native village, what is the boundaries of Tanacross? We, the shareholders and the people of Tanacross, would say are selected lands, but it doesn't say the selected native lands of the native village. It's not specific enough. It lends an opportunity for litigation. If it's, I mean, I'm not saying that it will happen, but knowing, I mean, having a little knowledge of businesses, it could come to a head in the courts. Let's say our regional corporation wants to develop copper in the 60 Mile Butte area, you know, right along, right in within our boundaries. And we say you didn't consult the Tanacross Board of Directors for access rights. Then, you know, I'm not saying it happened, I'm just saying it as an example. And they challenge. Well, we have, if we say according to section 14F, it doesn't say the selected boundaries, it just says the boundaries of the native village. The boundaries of the native village would be, in many interpretations, would be just a village. So I would like to suggest that it they specify, be more specific in, you know, in this provision.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Ted, a while ago, you know, you're asking him what's the difference, or, you know, how do they go hand in hand, his review and the Department of Interior review. I've learned that, you know, through my service as an executive board member of Tenanachita, I kind of traveled to many areas, many conventions, meetings, such as the National National Convention of American Indians. It's a national Indian, American Indian organization. The Alaska Native organizations play a part in the World Council of Indigenous People. It's an international organization representing Native people having ancestral backgrounds, such as us, who we claim that we're the Aborigines. We've been here, our family's been here for generations. And the same status goes to the American Indians, the Sami people of Norway, and other natives in Australia, New Zealand, and I think, I'm not sure if the Hawaiian natives are involved in it. I think they are. They're trying to gain their land claims passed. Just a point of clarification.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. No, that's, I'm glad you brought that up. Well, would anyone else like to testify?
My name's Larry Jonathan. I'm a Tanacross shareholder, and I'm speaking on behalf of all my brother and sister's kids. I'm very concerned about them, and not only for them, for future generation to come. I'm very nervous about for their future, not only now, but maybe 50 years from now. We'll never know what will become of the Alaska Native land claim, because the land claim came through in all of a sudden. And for instance, myself, when the land claim came through, I've been out of the state for school and haven't been in touch through newspapers or anything about the land claim. And I'm concerned about this land claim business. I think the land claim should be extended for another 60 years probably or more, because I think the natives of Alaska, you know, I'm not saying they're not educated or they're not ready, but any place else, if they gave them a land claim and tell them here, what's going to happen to them? You know, same thing like us happened to us. Many things have come up since the land claim came in. Like just short time ago, I spoke with some other people who are not, you know, I'm not going to mention from where or which corporation they're from, but this has to do with regional corporation and village corporation. Regional corporation versus village corporation. Reason, because business deal. Anyway, someday, maybe not now, not tomorrow, but someday maybe our own regional corporation will verse us with a lawsuit, and we're not protected. And we don't know the law very much, and we don't study the land claims like we should. And I think land claims should be looked into very, very carefully, and everybody should be together like one and fight for the right for the native to extend the land claims for further years to come until when people could handle big portion of lands. The lands we have after 1991, I don't know what we're going to do with them. Many of our lands, I believe, were selected right away, and after they get them all, geologists and everybody on them to find out what the value on our lands are. They may even have no value to them, and we might even get a piece of nothing. And anyway, I think other places like Canada or any other places where they fight for land claim, I hope by our land claim settlement, through our land claim settlements, I hope they study it thoroughly and learn for themselves and have good land claim selection. And my best wishes are for them, for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jonathan.
Well, I have a question again. Back in 1971, I know there's not very many people here from Tana Cross, but this is 12 years ago that you people have applied for land. You guys signed papers, and you applied for a native allotment. I have a question. I'd like to know How many people applied for the land, and how many of you guys got your title? And if you don't have your title now, what are you waiting for? Don't be ashamed. Get up. This is for your use, my use, our children's use, our future. 12 years ago. I mean, when you go to Tok or any Fairbanks, any other place to buy land, you get your title right now in your hands. They don't wait 12 years. I'd like to know if everyone got their titles. This is 12 years ago that you people applied for native allotment. Like I said, I don't have a native allotment land. I've been rejected. And I feel very, very uncomfortable going picking berries on your allotment, on your corporation. I feel very uncomfortable cutting wood. I would be feeling very uncomfortable trapping or hunting or fishing on your land. I want to know how you people feel. I mean, this is, nobody shouldn't sit back. People should go together. Let's get up and say something. This is for our children's use.
My name is Robert Paul, born and raised in Tanner Cross, and I just want to say a few words about this native allotment that you were talking about a while back. notice about this native allotment. Talking about native allotment, there's many people, younger people, that say back in 68, 69, 70, in that years 69 and 70 and 71, the guys that didn't apply for allotment wasn't in the village at the time. And those people were servicemen. They were in service. They were out fighting for your country, American. And they're Americans. And how come, if they're American and United States citizens of America, why don't they give them servicemen a chance to get their allotment? They were out fighting for your country. And how come the federal government or BLM, whoever they were, didn't give them younger boys their chance to get their allotment? And which I think is wrong, by not giving them young people their allotment. And they closed everything down in 71, which they were in service at the time. And they didn't even have a chance to get home. Maybe some of them were way out, Germany, wherever. And they didn't even have a chance to come back, put their name on a piece of paper for a piece of allotment that they're supposed to get, like 160 acres. Well, they say 160 acres. You can get 40 acres there, 40 acres there, 40 acres there, which you didn't even have a chance to even get one piece of allotment of any kind. Therefore, the American itself, they didn't give them a chance to get their allotment. I think they should stop and think and give this voice a chance to get their allotment. And they got just as right as anybody else in Alaska or America.
Thank you.
Are there any other disappointment?
Well, if there are no others, I just want to thank you for the testimony. It's been very useful, both this afternoon and this evening, and it really has given me a good idea of how the people here in Tenacross and the nearby villages feel about ANCSA and the other issues that you're facing, and I think you should know that it seems to me this has been in many ways a well-informed discussion. A lot of you say, I don't know anything about ANCSA and I'm not educated. But you've shown that you understand the underlying issues. And these questions that bear on the land, subsistence, the children, the future, we'll try to struggle with them. It's been a good day for me, and I hope that you found it worthwhile, too. I'll just thank you again for supper on behalf of all of those who came with me. We have enjoyed our visit here and enjoyed your hospitality. Is there anything else, Jerry?
One last thing, Robert was just telling me that if, you know, participants here were to go to and consult with the elderly and, you know, kind of fill them in on what was being discussed here, and then they had some comments, could we tape record it and have it sent to you?
Sure, please do that. That's a good idea. And Mary Kenswick has cards with our address on it, so that's exactly where you could send it. We would appreciate that. And I should say that all the tapes that Jim Sykes is making and any tapes you send us will be sent to the University of Alaska and kept there permanently along with a complete set of the transcripts. So that will all be available at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. If, as I say, you want to send me anything in writing or send me some tapes from the elders, I would very much like to have those, and I promise you that I will sit down and listen to them, or if it's in writing, I'll sit down and read it. So please feel free to stay in touch with us.
I have one other question. Reference to an earlier remark that the report and the recommendations and the information and so forth will go to officials. Am I to assume that a copy of your report with possible recommendations and so forth would also be going to Congress?
Oh, yes. Well, it's up to you people to decide what to do with my report, but if you decide that it truly represents the thinking of Alaska Natives and that its recommendations are good, then you take it to Congress. That's my view of the matter. And I'll come along with you if you decide you want me to come to discuss it. But undoubtedly it will go to Congress. I mean, I have no doubt of that.
I was just wondering if through official channels a copy of the report.
But I want to emphasize that I'm not here to go to Congress myself. You decide what you want to do with my report, and then if you want me to, I'll be glad to accompany you to the committee hearings and all the rest of it.
Are there any other closing testimony?
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Bill John in Tenacross.
I was born in Ketchumstuck, but I moved on here and I raised in Tana Cruz. And I'm glad we have land claim settlement. And besides that, I want everything to go right in our Ultem way, where our great-grandpa and great-grandma, where they used to fishing and trapping and hunting, in all them places we grew up and we use that land. And we write our names to hold that land, and we never get no title for our land where my mom and dad used to fishing and hunting, all them places. And I like to see all our great grandchildren to do what for land claim and all them other things, my nephew and my niece, what they talk about, all everything for inside land claim. It's right, I agree with all my niece and my nephew. And I write it down all lots of it, but this pile paper, I write it down. They write it down for me and I sign my name and they took it down to Fairbanks. And we raised in Alaska and we use whatever great grandpa and great grandma, what they used to do, we do that and we teach our grandchildren too that way. Both way, they stay school and we teach them with our way too. Both way, they gotta learn. And a lot of way I like to talk, but you know, I don't talk English good and I don't understand and I don't stay school much and all them things. My brother go to States to get land claim settlement. My brother go all over the States to try do best for his native in Alaska. And even we don't speak English good, why should we speak a little bit for our grandchildren? And when we gone, all our grandchildren gotta use that land. Trapping, hunting, fishing, they gotta use that land. Nobody, no state can tell them to pay tax. I don't think we need to pay tax in this Alaska, because no job and no nothing. Even this village, all the young generation have no job. Even myself, I still have sewing things, I sell things. My husband don't work, he just go in firefighting. That's only way he have money. All the way through, 25 years. I work, I stay in talk sometime with my sister to make money, make bed for laundromat, wash dishes. All this time I do that. That's how we live. And no job, all the way through no job. And how can we go and pay tax? I just hope you folks help us not to pay tax. Us in Alaska Native. We don't have no bank, we don't have nothing. Like what I say, I just sew something to sell. That's the only way I get my things. That's the way all the way through, all the way around. That's going to be like that in Alaska. And why should they go and pay tax? That's our land. We raise in Alaska and nobody tell us what to do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dolly Jonathan again. I just came up with this. It's when they first started this selection on the lands that started out, the BIA came to the village with maps in which most of the people didn't know how to read maps and didn't know what the maps really was for. They didn't know how to read the maps, so they had to selection of the land. They did their selection, made it. They sent out surveyors, and when they sent out surveyors, they didn't have the people go with the surveyors. They went out by themselves. They surveyed the wrong places of where people had selected lands, and most of the people were rejected. They should have had a person, you know, they should have had somebody. Whoever selected the land should have went with the surveyor, which they didn't do. The reason why I'm saying this is because my first husband, who is not present now, did apply for a land, and he was rejected later. And so, therefore, my kids don't inherit any land from him. So that's what I got to say.
Thank you, Ms. Jonathan.
I'd like to state this just for the mere fact of appeal to our people in the Upper Tanana region, specifically the younger people. Say, for instance, I've been in the leadership role for Tanaka for 8 years now. And some of us have been in it for more than that. For instance, Roy and Dave have been in it for about 12 years now. And sometimes we get tired. It's a burdensome, tiring work. And as each year goes by, there's additional responsibility. For instance, since 1981, the state started the revenue sharing program. It needs to be reported on a quarterly basis as to the expenditures of these funds. And I just wanted to say that we'd like to have the younger people take an active participation in village government and village affairs, corporations, and things of that nature. You know, the one thing that this great country had done for us is that it provided a very basic constitutional right, the freedom of speech. Let's all try to exercise that. Don't be afraid to take the reins of leadership, because we need you. We can't lead you without knowing what you're thinking. When I first started participating in village leadership, I didn't know nothing. And I had to learn through experience, and it's hard. I couldn't even speak when I first started. I've always had this jitters, I shake, and my voice seemed like I was chewing my words. And you'll get that initial shock, but as you go on, you'll start to get this prideful feeling that you are representing a group of people that you were born from. We were born here. We have common interests and we're bonded together by our spirituality. Today we call ourselves Episcopalians and non-denominations and stuff like that, but we had a spirit or spiritual religious spirit before even religion had come into our area. I just wanted to say, even if you think that Hank next door is going to attend that board of directors meeting, I'll just stay home and watch TV or read my book. Don't use that attitude. If you hear a board of directors meeting, feel free to come. You have to be there. You have to take an active part in it. And if you're there and you don't like what's happening, you can say it. And if take me serious on this. Any board of director of a business corporation gets mad at you for saying something that kind of teets him or her off, they're behaving in a very unprofessional manner. So don't be afraid of anybody. If you want to confront somebody, the board of directors, with a question, do so. That's your constitutional right. You're the shareholders and you have vested interest in the operations of your corporation. This morning I mentioned that the village and regional corporations can sell land holdings they have. You know, for instance, Town of Cross can sell lands, the lands out here, lots, to anybody they want for a specified price. That's, I mean, you know, the act says 20 years ban, moratorium. But in it, it didn't say that we can subdivide our lands and sell it for profit. It didn't say that. So we can. And this is these are the issues that came out of that 1991 conference that we were participating in Fairbanks in December of last December. There's many ways that the shareholders can materialize. It didn't make profit and we went broke. How are we going to pay our debts? So the banks, the loan institutions would take this to court, and the judge would say, okay, if you don't have any money to pay your debts, I'll set aside 10,000 acres as payment for the bad debts. And the third way of losing your land is through taxation. Not only one form of government can tax your lands. If Tok incorporates into a city, and we have selected lands up there, they can tax that. A borough being the borough being centralized in Tok can tax our lands. Then the state can do that, and the federal government can do that. We're paying taxes to everybody. And taxes are paid on the basis of mills. I don't even know what that is. 3 mills per 1% or something like that. And then you add that up to 4 different governmental organizations, and you're being taxed to death even before you start. And the fourth way of losing your lands is through adverse possession. That's what they call squatter's rights. That means when Duke Bob sits down here on Town of Cross Inc. Lands, and he lives there and builds a house, and he lives there for 7 years. We knew he was there, but we didn't kick him off. And then we tell him on the 9th year that you're sitting on our land, we have to get you off, we're going to develop it. He can take it to court, and the court will say that this land belongs to him because he showed actual use and occupancy. And he can prove how much land that around his house that he used. It could turn out to be 10 acres. The other way of losing your lands is through condemnation and eminent domain. Those two go hand in hand. Condemnation is, let's say the Alaska Department of Transportation wants to build a road through your native selected lands, and they'll first offer you fair market value for the lands they're going to traverse. If you refuse that, the DOT can go to the state government or the courts and ask for condemnation. And if they issue it, they'll order you through the courts to get off your land within 30 days without pay. The other one is through eminent domain. Eminent domain means mostly for your country's defense or country's purpose, such as if there was a war and they have to build an airstrip on Town of Cross's land, and we refuse to give it up, they'll declare eminent domain, free of charge, they'll just take it. These and many other issues face the Alaska Natives. This is the reason that you have to get yourselves involved in it. Let's not take the attitude that, like I say, Hank next door is going to go to the meeting, I don't have to participate. That's a very poor attitude. it's your land we're dealing with as a board of directors. In closing, that's all I have to say, and I hope we have more activity, active participation by our respective village shareholders.
Thank you. Well,
and another one. Thanks for including Tanacross as one of the focal points of conferencing on this issue, because we feel very honored for you having, you know, come down here to hold your hearings here.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you all. And I especially want to thank not only the people of Tanacross, but those from the other villages who came here. It's been a well-attended meeting, and we have had more than 20 people speak, and I think that's a pretty good showing. I hope to see you all again one of these days. So, thank you.
Nice talk to you. Yeah, nice to talk to you. Keep up the good work, and I'm glad we came out here.
I'm glad you did too.
As a matter of fact, when the last person spoke, the last page.
Any cards, Mary?
Who has a card for the address?
Yeah, here.